I want to share with you just something from the scriptures, very short. I want you to pray with me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. There is an individual who is represented in the Torah readings this week and elsewhere in Scripture, and his name in Hebrew is Pinchas. Can you say that with me? Pinchas. In English, it's Phineas or something like that. But in Hebrew, it sounds so much better, doesn't it? Pinchas. And Pinchas was a grandson, if I remember correctly, of Aaron. He was appointed to be part of the priestly family. And he was a man of great zeal, and he had a commitment to serve the Lord. And we discover him, or we see him acting during a very difficult time in Israel's history. Because if you remember Balaam, as we say in the South, which do you prefer? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Okay. Well, Balaam was a prophet, but not a prophet of God. And he had some connection with the supernatural. He was hired by the enemies of Israel to curse Israel in order to bring spiritual defeat upon Israel so that the enemies of Israel could then attack Israel with their military. Because the enemy said, if Israel is strong in God, we can't defeat Israel with the military. And so he tried to curse, but he couldn't, because every time he tried to curse, God did a hafuch. He turned it around. He turned it upside down. It came out as a blessing. But he didn't give up, and he actually had a plan, which was to use the women of Moab to seduce the men of Israel sexually and to build a illicit connection that way so that Israel would then start worshiping the gods of Moab. And in Numbers 25, we read this week that Balaam was ultimately successful. And it says that Israel remained in the Acacia Grove area, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. And so Israel was joined to Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. So this does tell you something. During that time period, when Jews turned away from God, who had just purchased them out of slavery and redeemed them, he was jealous and angry, and the favor that he wanted to pour out on Israel, he was not able to pour out because Israel was serving false gods. And it was a time of a great turmoil. A plague came upon Israel during this time as some of the men of Israel joined with the women of Moab who were forbidden to them and to the gods of the Moabites. I want you to see that because that's an important distinction. And this man Pinchas rose up. And he did something that's sometimes hard to understand, certainly in modern times, and that is he killed some of the ones who were guilty of the sexual unfaithfulness and the spiritual unfaithfulness. And so there are some who read this chapter and they say, Pinchas has zeal, I want to be like him. But there's another side to the story of Pinchas, and unless you know the whole story, you won't learn everything that has to be learned, both about Balaam and about Pinchas. So the rest of the story is found in Joshua chapter 22. Now, if you're not familiar with this, it may be completely new. I'd encourage you to read, because the details are important, and I don't have time to go over all the details. But there were several tribes. There were the tribe of Reuben, of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And they had a different portion of land that was allocated to them than the rest of Israel. And they had they made a decision to live in an area, and they decided that they would build an altar that was a replica of the tabernacle. And the purpose of this was severalfold. One of them was to remind them of what they had gone through and the experience they had. They knew that the real tabernacle would be taken to, ultimately, to Jerusalem, and it would be incorporated into the temple structure. And they thought, we're over here, and Jerusalem's way over there, and so we need a replica because there may come a time when the rest of Israel thinks we're not with them. But we're building this in order to be a testimony for us and our children and our children's children that we are part of Israel spiritually, physically, and in all ways. Well, their thinking was misunderstood. In fact, the rest of Israel did not even know what their thinking was, and they saw that this group of tribes had built a replica of the tabernacle, and they took it as treachery. And they said, there's only one reason they're doing this. They're separating from us, and they're separating from God. They don't want to be under God's authority, and they don't want to be part of the people Israel. And so they're against us and against God. And with that in mind, you can go to verse 13 in Joshua 22. Actually, we'll go to verse 12. It says, when the children of Israel heard of this, the whole community of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. And then Joshua 22, verse 13, it says, then the children of Israel sent Pinchas, the same Pinchas we just read about, son of Eleazar the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, and with him 10 rulers, one from each of the chief houses of every tribe of Israel. In verse 15, they came to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they said, what treachery is this that you've committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord. So Pinchas, you see, he's tough. He's zealous. That's the word zealous or zeal that describes him. He's a man who's bold and courageous, and he's ready to fight. Do you see that? He's ready as a spiritual man and as a priest to lead Israel into military war against other sons of Israel. He's ready to do it because he thinks he understands the situation. There's only one problem. He doesn't understand the situation. He's ready to fight without understanding what's really happening. He's looking at outward things, and his zeal is moving him. But you know what he lacks? He lacks knowledge. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. He lacks discernment. His spirit isn't recognizing what's really going on, and he's ready to fight. He's ready to go to war. Well, he challenges these tribes of Israel, and to their credit, they don't fight back. They explain. And they give their explanation in the balance of chapter 22. And they explain why they made this replica, and they're not going to use it for burnt offerings. They're not going to use it for sacrifices, and they're not going to use it as a substitute for the genuine altar of God. They're simply using it as a memorial and a witness for them and for all of Israel. They give that explanation. And then in verse 31, Pinchas hears, and he turns. His heart is turned. It tells us, he said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the children of Manasseh, today we understand that the Lord is with us. and he's among us because you haven't committed treachery against the Lord. And now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. He's saying several things. If we had gone to war against you, it would have been wrong. We would have been wrong. If we had attacked you without understanding what was going on, it would not have been a day of God's blessing and his favor. It would be a day of regret because one day we'd understand what we had done and we would be ashamed of ourselves. And so now we see something about Pinchas. It's not only his zeal that's important, it's his restraint as well. And it's a warning to zealous people to be careful with your zeal. That zeal requires wisdom, it requires discernment, and it requires knowledge. And when those are absent, zeal, especially religious zeal, can be very dangerous. And let me illustrate. Today, in these days, do you know that Hamas, the terrorist group, is moved with religious zeal? They have strong religious zeal and strong zeal for war. 3 Israeli teenagers were abducted recently, you know that, and then they were murdered. And during that time, some of the people who were involved, some of their families said, we don't know if our children were involved in this abduction and this murder, the Palestinian Hamas people. But if they were, we're proud of them. And so you heard mothers of these men saying, if they abducted Jewish teenagers and then killed them, good. It's a blessing. We're proud. That's the danger of zeal. Now there's another danger. After this abduction of 3 and their murder, some Israelis also had zeal. Without wisdom. And they abducted a Palestinian teenager in retaliation, in revenge. It's called a price tag. There's a price they'll have to pay for having done this. And so they abducted a Palestinian teenager and then they burned him. And he died on fire. They know from the autopsy that he was still breathing and alive while he was burning. Now, you know what Israel said? The ones who did this are criminals. They're not heroes. And then a few days later, some Israeli police officers arrested the cousin of the Palestinian who was burned. They handcuffed him, and then they viciously and violently beat him and hurt him. It was caught on film. And you know what Israel said? These are not heroes. They had zeal, but they were misguided. And so we learn something. We learn that having zeal can be a good thing when it's used in service to God with wisdom, with knowledge, with discernment. But even when it's used in service to God, religious zeal by itself without those things is very, very dangerous. Paul put it this way. I was zealous, and so I persecuted the whole community of Messiah. That's how he described it. You see, he was zealous in a spiritual way and in a violent way, but without knowledge, wisdom, or discernment. And so he killed many Messianic Jews. He arrested many. He was always ashamed of that. And because of that shame, you see something that is part of the ethic, I believe, of the disciples of Yeshua and the apostles, that they did not embrace violence for themselves to accomplish their goals. They laid it down, and they would rather suffer than do harm to others, because they had the experience of seeing what that was like. They learned from Yeshua, who had the ability to destroy everyone but didn't even save himself. And he suffered because of zeal, without knowledge, without wisdom, without discernment from others. He suffered from their zeal. And that was part of the way God worked to bring redemption to us, to show what guilt really looks like and what his sacrifice of love was really like. When we see the zeal of Islam, Islamic extremists, it's very easy to find them guilty. And we should. We should. We have to be careful not to be blind to our own mistakes in the same area. Now, having said that, I am proud of Benjamin Netanyahu and the position that he's taken, a strong position in support of defending Israel and fighting against Hamas. And I believe that it is good to bring Hamas down, whatever that means, as an organization. It's committed to violence. It has an ethic of violence. And its goal is to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. It needs to be brought down. That doesn't make all Palestinians bad. I want you to understand that. And there are many Palestinians who are victimized right now by Hamas and are terrorized and are afraid to act against them because they know what happens when you act against them, which is you too become their victim, because they will kill not just Jews. I want you to understand it. They will kill Arabs, Palestinians, even other Muslims if they oppose them. Netanyahu, I think, learned a lesson by what's happened in Crimea, because you know Ukraine had a treaty with the United States, the United Kingdom, and Russia, that if they gave up their nuclear weapons, that those three countries would defend the sovereignty and the borders of Ukraine. And who violated the borders? One of the treaty makers. And who rose up and did something about it? Nobody yet. And so I think Netanyahu is wise in saying to John Kerry, to Obama, and all of those who are thinking in a certain way, you ask us to depend on you to defend us from them? No. It's just like that. No, we won't do it. And I think that's wise. And so I was proud of Prime Minister Netanyahu for taking that position. Proud also that he said something that very few are willing to say. He looked at what's happening in Syria and in Lebanon with ISIS, which has established a caliphate in that area. He looked at what's happening in Iraq with the same group. He looked at what the Muslim Brotherhood had done in Egypt. And he said, radical extremist Islam is a danger that threatens us all. And we as Israel cannot ignore it, and neither can the rest of the world. And I think that's wise. That doesn't make every Muslim a bad person. I want you to understand that. And it doesn't make every Muslim part of that thinking. But that thinking of Islam is dangerous, and somebody needs to say so. And I'm glad that Netanyahu said so. Our government is afraid to say so. Too bad for them. But we shouldn't be afraid. We have to be careful, though, to balance our zeal. Do you see? Especially as messianics, we have to be very careful. So Pinchas, hallelujah, he was zealous. Hallelujah, he took action. Hallelujah, he had restraint at the moment when he needed it. It wasn't rising up from inside of him. It came from others who were courageous enough to stand up to him and say, wrong, you're wrong, you don't understand, let us explain. And he listened, he heard, he was turned, and he was thankful for that. I hope we can become like that, that even with our zeal, that is for good, not for harm. And that when we're zealous and we're wrong, that we'll listen. Lord, we thank you for Pinchas, for the example that he is. We thank you for the first episode and the second episode that are so important in the scriptures about him. And we thank you for the lessons we can learn. We do pray for ourselves, Lord, that we would be zealous, but it would be balanced and completed with wisdom, with knowledge and discernment. And that we would not be zealous in revenge or zealous in human anger, but we would be zealous in mercy and zealous in faithfulness and zealous to sacrifice our good pleasures for your pleasure. This we pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? You don't have to be alone. If you're standing alone, there's an easy way to solve it. Move and stand with others so that you have the joy of solidarity with other people. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.